Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Everyone, I have the proud privilege and honour of the company of Marshall Cook today, who is here to talk about his latest film, Film Fest. So again, welcome, Marshall. Nice to speak to you and nice to meet you. Thank you for joining me.
Nice to meet you too. Thanks for having me.
No, it's great. I've seen the trailer for the film. I've not seen the film itself. I've not been getting the link. So I've seen the trailer and the trailer made me laugh. So, I'm looking forward to seeing the film. Now, when will the film just... we'll get right into that bit. When's the film going to be available for people to watch fully?
It'll be March 2nd, depending on when this comes out. But March 2nd, which is a Tuesday, it'll be available on Amazon and iTunes. And then the following week, March 9th, it'll be on Google Play.
Okay, excellent.
And it'll just be those three. And we ask for people to please pay for it and not go to the Pirate Bay and try to find some low resolution, you know.
Dodgy. Excellent. No, that'd be great. So I shall bookmark that myself as well then to watch it. So I've seen the trailer. I did laugh at the trailer. I thought it looked very promising, very funny film. So I can't wait to find out more about it, to be fair.
Thank you. Yeah, we made it intentionally a 1-minute trailer. It's almost like a protest of just how movie trailers have gotten out of hand. You know, it's like 2.5 minutes or more, and it just giving away all the plot points and surprises.
Yeah.
Just find out one minute what this is about, you know?
Yeah. I've noticed that in a few things. And the problem is, it's like they do that 2.5 minutes and then you watch the film. Mm-hmm. And in some of them, I'm not going to say which ones they are, but then you find out that you've actually just watched the best bits were in the trailer. So it's like,
yeah.
So it's like, you don't ruin it like that. Never mind. Yeah.
And I'm kind of the opposite with that. Like, I really don't like to give away too much, all the bigger jokes and stuff. But I know that you need to do studies on this. Like, you know, people see stuff in the trailers and they'll laugh again when they see it. But I still just don't like to give it away there. I want them to see it in context. It's better.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's very, like I say, the trailer was, I say, a minute long. So it's very punchy, very short and punchy.
Yeah.
Because it came to the end, I was like, oh, is that it? Because obviously expecting a longer trailer. However, it did leave me with that feeling of wanting to see more, which is what it's designed for. So yeah, it was good.
Good.
So kind of going back to the beginning, Marshall, what kind of drew you into film? Why did you want to become a filmmaker? What drew you into this sort of profession and this industry?
I've been asked this before, and I still can't find that like aha moment. You know, where it's like, oh, yeah. I'm going to be a, you know, it's not like a movie where it's like, and that's when I knew. Growing up, I do know that my dad got this little Hi-8 video camera when I was about 9, and I started toying with that. And just to date myself, this is like, that was the tech, Hi-8, you know, it was these little like VHS tapes, just a smaller tape.
Yeah.
And I would shoot stuff on that with my friends and edit it, you know, on a VCR where you're pressing like play, you know.
Oh, no, I'm 45, I know all of that. Yeah, I remember all of that.
Yeah. So I was just doing that a lot, and that kind of evolved, you know, through high school and college, and then into doing short films in my 20s and eventually features. And just kind of like that slow, you know, move and getting better each time, I feel like, and just kind of discovering through just trying and making a lot of bad decisions and learning from them.
Fair enough, Brad. I mean, you're 27, I think, you were when you directed, produced, edited, and starred in a feature film as well. That was your first one, wasn't it? The Division III football.
Yeah.
Football, or is that soccer?
That's American football.
For me, it's football. No.
Yeah, I know.
It's soccer.
I think it has different titles overseas. I think in like China, it's just called Crazy Coach, you know.
Oh, okay.
That was a lot. That movie, I wrote that when I was 25, and it was one of those things that was kind of in and out of development for a couple of years. I was flown out to Louisiana a couple of times with, you know, talks of a $2.7 million budget, and, you know, and then it's a different production company, and then they're okay, $1.2 million. And then finally we were in LA, and Andy Dick lived next to a guy who's like, I got $250,000 and I want to make a movie. I'm like, oh yeah, well, we could do a Division III for that for sure. And you know, like without even looking at the logistics and, and we just, you know, made it happen. I'm really proud of what we did, you know, considering, but it's definitely tonally a different movie than I would make now.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. Well, that's the thing, you learn from it, don't you? Like you say, you know, it's one of the, that was the first feature film. So you've built on it and learned it. And you've done a lot of commercials as well. So kind of what's the difference for you then between filming and directing and creating a commercial, which is obviously what we talked about. It's like a 60 second or 2 minutes or compared to like a feature film.
Yeah. I mean,
everything in, haven't you?
On commercials, I mean, we can spend a whole day on a 15 second commercial. It's just, you know, you have so much more prep and approvals on every stage of everything because, you know, you have clients. But commercials did, you know, they did help me with prep because, you know, with indie films, sometimes you don't have the luxury of prep because you lose a location, you have to adapt. I mean, in Division III, like we were on, we had 4 hours in the school. We were dancing around the school schedule. So we were like 4 hours indoors, 4 hours in the football field, and so, yeah, it was a lot of run and gun, whereas commercials are a lot more comfortable and they have money.
Yeah.
So
true.
There's that part too. But Film Fest was similar in a way to my first feature with the budget and the schedule. You know, you're shooting sometimes, you know, 9 or 11 and 3/4 pages in a day. So you're just flying.
Fantastic. You're right. I mean, I spoke to a lot of people who made indie film and it's, you know, there's such a passion behind there because, you know, that you don't get the big budgets, like you say, the commercials and things. And you, I was in one about 3-4 years ago, maybe. I had a speaking role. I was like, yeah, I got a speaking part because I was just trying to get into it. There's someone up here in North Wales. And you're right, because it's so funny because they had a location and we were, you know, I think my scene was about 2 minutes in total. And we filmed for 12 there for 12 hours waiting, just most of it. So they said, you're not going to be bored sat around. And I was like, no, I was just watching the camera crew work and I'm watching the light. And I was just fascinated at how much it all behind the scenes was going on. It was amazing to see it. But yeah, the location, they were like really panicking because they only had it for like one day and they had to get the final scene because the light, they were losing the light outside. It was like, you know, all we can hear is the cinematographer guy, the director of photography, he was like shouting and screaming. He was like, no, the light's going, move. It's like, it's quite funny. But yeah, so I can imagine how stressful it can be when you've got certain times on the location and that's it. But if you go past that time, you've lost it.
It's oddly like the highest stakes and lowest stakes thing at the same time. Because I mean, you have to get it. Like it's all prepped for this one day. You can't afford to go another day. I remember doing this spot for Gorilla Glue. Are you familiar with that product? Gorilla Glue?
Yeah.
So I direct their commercials with my producing partner, Tyler Hawes. And we were doing this night shoot. It was like a Friday the 13th kind of parody. And, anyway, you know, like the Jason character's axe head falls off and then Gorilla shows up to help him glue it back on so we could chase the guy again. But it was like, it was a night shoot. So it was like 5 a.m. and we're all in the middle of this, in the woods, freezing. And we're on like these last insert shots where we're just getting like the perfect, you know, critical focus close-up shot of this bead of glue, you know, coming out of the bottle onto the wood. And we're all just like watching it like it's the most important thing, you know, of our lives. Everybody's, you know, everybody's exhausted and freezing. And we're just like, what is this job? This is insane. But yeah, it's like when you take yourself out of it, you know, you're just like, what are we doing here? But I do love it. That being said.
Yeah. That's the whole point. And I think that comes across much more in an indie film as well, because pretty much everyone's involved and you are, you know, you are just, no matter what you're doing, you can be sat in the middle of the woods in the middle of the night, like you just said, so a freezing.
Yeah.
A few people have said that to me. It's fun to hear. So, I mean, and this is kind of, and then obviously you go through all the process of going to film festivals and things. Like I've had that chance to host a couple and present awards at them. And that kind of brings me right onto Film Fest as well, because that's what this whole, which is great about the film, you know, obviously I'll let you explain in your own words. Tell us what Film Fest is about.
I mean, very simply, it's about what you would think it's about. It's about independent filmmakers going to kind of an obscure film festival to sell their indie film. And we made it to kind of represent the, you know, well, like the 99% of filmmakers, you know, so it's an outside Hollywood story. Just because you made a movie doesn't mean you're a millionaire. You know, there's a lot of people who can make a movie now that, you know, that's not the end of their journey. Now it's like getting anyone to care, getting your money back, getting, you know, people to see it. And just the world of film festivals. I mean, every festival is different, but also there's a lot of similarities. So I feel like, you know, this isn't supposed to represent the entire festival experience for everyone across the world, but, you know, mm-hmm. this is a festival experience. I think that, you know, going to enough of them, you'll identify with a lot of things that happen at festivals, and, you know, things will be very funny. Things will be very painful and cringeworthy and what have you.
Yeah. And that's part of the, you know, also, I did laugh at that, the clip in the trailer as well, which isn't spoiling it when he's obviously, I think it tones to some of the films that you do see, and the audience, they just don't get it. And you can see it in their face. It's just really, and it does make, and because it's not saying that the film was bad. It's just obviously, which they're not. They're just different. So you get such a variety of different films, which means so many different people. Mm-hmm. But it's obviously some you'll understand the message, and some you won't understand the message. It's not just indie film. That's every film, you know. Yeah. So at the film festivals, they are, they are great like that. I'll say my son, speaking of obscure ones, he did a junior one and he actually won the competition. He got screened at a junior film festival. Uh-huh. And it was great because there are only kids who did it, so I'm not going to knock them. They're all brilliant, but sure. Some of them, I would sit there and I was thinking, don't get
it. Yeah.
No, they were film shorts as well. They weren't features, but the film festival is. There seem to be a lot of them now as well. So I mean, quickly, just the last year. Then I'm going to bring this in because I know it's been mentioned. It's changed a lot in the last year as well with film festivals itself, I guess.
Are you talking about during like 2020?
During the lockdown during 2020.
Oh yeah,
because how hard has that been? And we'll come back to obviously part of the film anyway. But how hard has it been to change that? Because everything's gone online now, hasn't it? You haven't got any face to face film festivals anymore. Oh, you haven't at the moment.
Should I say that
in the UK we haven't? It might be different for you out there.
No, it's terrible for film festivals. I mean, a lot of them have tried to adapt, and I, you know. We actually premiered at the Austin Film Festival virtually. And, you know, I'm not going to say it's a real bummer because there's a lot worse things that have happened in 2020 than, you know, being able to go to a festival to screen your film. But, that is one of the things we were looking forward to, is taking this film around and screening it in front of a festival audience. Mm-hmm. So, you know, screening it virtually at Austin, we're very... happy that happened. The experience itself was very anticlimactic, and you know, we can't hear the laughs, you know, if it's virtual.
We
don't know, you know, who all liked it. Or I mean, we got some, you know, response from mm-hmm. comments and messages and some reviews, but that gratification is just gone. And that's, you know, part of the allure of a festival is like putting your movie into a theater setting with an audience of people who love movies. So taking that out of it, it's just kind of like, oh, just put it on Vimeo or YouTube then.
I get that. Yeah, totally. Because it's the atmosphere, like you say, the film festival, it's the atmosphere. And like you say, I mean, there's a lot of films which do go there, and to see it on a big screen, you know, so I've been to a few of them. You do get, even as a person watching, going to view the films, you get much more emotive when you're actually in the cinema as well, watching these things. The one I presented the Water one, and I went up as a crying my eyes out because it was about mental health and it really affected me and it was really touched my heart. And then all of a sudden I found I was having to present the award, and I was like, it's just like, I didn't expect to be moved that much. I was like, you know, because it was just the atmosphere of the whole room. We could see everyone was getting really involved. And so I do feel for you and all filmmakers, you know, for 2020 in that respect, that you've not had that. I keep looking up there. I'm sorry. I'm getting used to this camera. It's really feel for you. And the and that you haven't got this like a gratification in a way of hearing, like you say, hearing those laughs and seeing the smiles, but it's still a very good way to, you know, that for 2020 to do it. And the way we've done it in virtual. So, I mean, they could have just stopped them all together. So it's great that they've been able to carry these on.
And I do hope it works out for these festivals to, you know, bridge the gap until they're back again. But, you know, I don't know if these studies are real. I thought I read somewhere that like there's a 30% chance, you know, more that people will laugh or cry or, you know, be affected emotionally in a theater setting. I don't know where they got the 30%, but I do remember watching like Judd Apatow's Trainwreck in the theater and laughing more than when I watched it again at home. So okay. I think it does have, but maybe it's because I saw it already. I don't know. But
possible.
Yeah, you know, comedies really haven't really been a whole lot of comedies in theaters anyways. There's just been a shift. So we weren't really making it, you know, with that in mind. That was just an extra little, you know, sprinkle. That would have been fun.
Excellent. Cool. I mean, you've got a great cast as well. You've got Matt Cook, Deanna Reasonover, Rachel Lee Cook as well in there. So how did you go about approaching these guys to get in the film?
You know, everyone's pretty different. I mean, I knew some of them. Like seven of our cast members are from the Groundlings main company, and the Groundlings is like, you know, if you ever heard of like a Second City or an IO or like a, you know, UCB, like these kind of sketch theater shows. And so these actors, they write their material, they work every week, you know, for free to do a live show. So they're, you know, they're trained actors that work all the time and they're hard workers and disciplined. So they know their lines. They have new, you know, they've come up with other stuff if you have more takes. So they were great. And then, you know, Rachel Lee Cook, we were working out in the same place. And I just asked her to be in it. I just walked up to her and introduced myself. And then, you know, basically just said, hey, you want to be in? And it was really, it was nerve wracking asking her because the role, she could read this and say like, well, am I making fun of myself or is it, you know, but it wasn't, it was all just like, I'm glad that she got it because, I just think what she did and it's just so funny and she's so delightful to work with and funny. Like she doesn't get a lot of chances to do comedies of this tone. Yeah, and then like Will Sasso, he's been a friend for a while. But then other people like Ellen Wong or Jason Genao, you know, we cast them. Never known, you know. So it's all a mix. It's a lot of cast members.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And again, it's the whole premise of that. Yeah, like you say, what is it with Rachel as well? Thinking obviously she just, you know, sending herself up in that respect. But again, I just love the whole idea of it because I say, you know, about film festivals and a lot of people don't know about all the different types of film festivals and that they go to. And, you know, you can have a lot and it's, but, you know, there's a lot of hard work goes into one and to actually get screened in a film festival is still, it is really big and it's a really good achievement to be done, you know, to get there.
Yeah.
But as I say, that's what the whole with the film fest being, the comedy behind it and seeing how the reaction I think it was as well between the producer and the filmmaker, you know, in the series, like the what now, when he was trying to figure out the name of the film fest, he was like, where?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Just, I mean, there's a lot of them and yeah. So some of the names are, you're just like, this is a real thing. This is a real place. But again, you know, this isn't like to make fun of film festivals. I think that, you know, it's to, I mean, obviously there are some jokes that are self-aware, but it's not like a hit piece, you know, it's really about, you know, perspective when you're going to a film festival and, you know, your expectations in going there and just the journey of, you know, our lead Matt Cook and Deanna and, you know, what they go there expecting and what they actually find.
Exactly. Because if you've never been to one, you've got an expectation of what it might be and then it could be, you know, completely different again. Yeah. I didn't expect when I went to my first one, I'm just sad because I didn't expect it to be what it was. And I just sat and watched film and I loved it. I mean, you know, for me, spending a day just watching film after film was just my heaven, to be honest. You know, and that's what it is. And mingling as well, because I think hopefully we probably see this in the film as well, but I think it's a very good place for networking as well. And it's not just you show your film, but you can network and meet other directors or the filmmakers. You can,
yeah,
that's where you hopefully get the, you get the people who come to watch to say, right, okay, I'll keep an eye on them and I'll give them the funds for next, you know. And it's a brilliant place to get to build that as well. And I don't think some people might not see that. So hope, you know, within the film, what I've seen in the trailer, it's going to that's kind of where, you know, it will show that kind of aspect to it as well.
Well, yeah, again, it's just, you know, it's a festival. So there's so many different kinds of people from all over with bringing their own expectations in there. And we even have kind of a running thing throughout the movie where it's like, wasn't that the point of festivals to watch a bunch of movies? Or isn't that the point of festivals to like for filmmakers to get together and exchange ideas? Mm-hmm. Wasn't that the point of festivals? Because, you know, so yeah, everybody has their own idea of what the festival should be. But yeah.
Cool. And so it's a good behind the curtains look. But is there anything, I mean, I was going to say after the film as well, I've been given a tidbit of information about you, which sparked up an interest because it's right, Dan, it's nothing to do with films. It's the apparently that you actually, you donate regularly to dog rescues and you've got a bleeding heart for animals. This is what I've been told of. Yeah.
This is what the, okay.
That's if you don't mind me talking about that, by the way.
Yeah, that's like my go-to for charity, but and you know, I just have a thing for dogs. I don't know what it is. When I was visiting Thailand, like I spent a fair amount of time just walking around feeding street dogs, and you know, I don't know. That's just like a hobby of mine. I would have like, you know, a pack of dogs if I could, like, but I think you're only supposed to have like three. In LA or where?
All right. Yeah. Okay, we'll try and show you if that's see her properly.
Sweetheart.
She had her since September last. She's actually a Romanian rescue, which is why that perked up my interest because, there's a charity here. So we got her from, they put on death list. Well, she's only 9 months old. She's 4 months and she's on a kill list.
Yeah.
And it was like, no, let's bring her, let's get her home. So we brought her back in September and she's the naughtiest, mischievous little. Going, she's so always want to rescue. You know, I think it's a really worthwhile because the animals need. You know, there's so many animals out there that need help. So yeah, I saw that on your thing. I was like, oh, all right.
Yeah, no, I mean, sometimes it's a little more work. I mean, we got ours from a kill list at the pound in LA, and you know, it was the boy was just a mess, and now he's just a prince. But you can see like the evolution and that trust and. You know, it was definitely a project, but very worth it.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think we were lucky because she was born in this pound, so she didn't have a bad life outside the pound, you know what I mean? Whereas some, obviously, little ones which were a bit older had that bad street life, which are a bit more different, like you said, yours. Just a little bit more nurturing and a little bit more work to be done. Mm-hmm. She's still a cow around food, though. She still thinks that any type of food, she's never going to see food again, so any type of food out and that's it, she'll just snatch it out, you know, even something and put it halfway to your mouth and she snatched it out of your hand. So it's trying to try. It's just like, it's there 1 minute, it's gone the next. And you're like, she's sitting there and you go munching away.
Excellent.
So, I mean, as I say, we're going to see Film Fest 8 days, I think it was. So, yeah, by the time this has come out, it won't be 8 days. It'll be about 7 days because I'll get this out tomorrow. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So March 2nd, whatever that means to you when you look at the calendar. But yeah, it's weird to promote movies now, like even, you know, a week before, because I feel like everybody's just kind of got that scroll, like what's available now mentality. So it's almost like I just want to do everything the day of. Hey, you can get it now. Go get it now.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know if you set an alarm on your phone or put a post-it note up, but yeah, March 2nd, Amazon and iTunes.
Cool. I could schedule this actually for March the 2nd, and then I can tweet it out and say, go and get it now on Amazon.
Oh, yeah. however you want to do it, yeah.
I'll do it that way then. Unless, yeah, like you say, because then people can immediately go and find it. So, yeah, I'll do that.
Okay.
Excellent. Before I wrap this up for you, Marshall, and let you get back to your busy day, is there anything you'd like to say to people who are watching or listening?
Oh, in general, anything kind of... Give me a category. That's too much. I could go on for an hour about waxing poetic about the meaning of life.
So yeah, believe me, I'll do all night. anything about the film or the words of wisdom that you might have for people.
Well, I I'm just a guy who makes movies. So I will say, because we're talking about Film Fest, you know, hi everybody. I hope you're well. And if you feel like downloading or renting or owning Film Fest, it is a light, you know, road trip comedy with zero politics. Good for a laugh. I think you'll enjoy yourself. And you can always reach out to me and tell me what you thought about it. If you loved it or hated it, or I'm curious how people take this movie. Cause I, when you make a movie called Film Fest, it's like, I feel like there's going to be a crowd out there that's gonna be like, oh, he better have made a perfect movie because this is my world, you know? So yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Fantastic. Thank you. I was going to say, yeah, it goes, no politics. Yes.
Yeah, I know. It's too much. It's just too much. Cool. We all get it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I'll just stop the recording.
This is Corey Reynolds, and I am here with Chris Gordon on Hellblazer Biz.